In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former all-pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
You know who else is notable injury-wise for Miami? Jalen Ramsey, who was not 100% going into the opener. Hamstring, I think. But played anyway.
Played a lot, too, yeah. Huh.
And so...
Yeah, I saw going into the game, he and Jalen Phillips, one of their young edge rushers, same draft class, I think, as Gregory Rousseau. Same school, too, if I have it right. Anyway, right. They were both going to be on something of a pitch count, and what I saw on Monday morning was they both like exceeded what the expectations were for that pitch count. So,
yeah, interesting on Ramsey. Like, I was reading, the tone of it was more like, cautionary about him, but he played, and I don't know how well he did. I don't have the PFF Dolphin Jaguar grades here, but got through the game and has been listed on their injury report this week. Bills and Dolphins, Thursday night, Amazon Prime. Here in Western New York, you can get that on local TV.
Right.
I guess in Rochester, you can't.
Yeah, that's how that works.
As near as Rochester, you cannot get the game on a local affiliate. You have to get Prime, I guess, or know somebody. Ross Tucker with us here on the West Her Hotline.
Or come to Buffalo.
I had an extra minute, and I dropped the ball here, Ross. On the West Her Hotline is Odyssey NFL insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious there. I got to it just in time.
How did you enjoy the hospitality, Ross? You had a good long visit here.
I did. It was awesome. It was obviously great to get a chance to meet you in person. I had no idea you were that big. I'm sure you get that all the time. And that's weird to me because I'm surprised that we didn't meet when I played here or played in Buffalo, but I guess we didn't, or at least you weren't memorable enough. But you're a pretty memorable-looking guy.
Yeah, I work at it. So yeah. yeah. I knew you were you genuinely seemed surprised, like, because you know you're a former player, so it's not often you meet people that are your size or maybe even a little bigger than you, and yeah, that reaction, I wasn't prepared for that at all, because you know I'm used to being 6'5" and the size that I am, so, and I don't get it a lot because people around here are, you know, pretty familiar with me being a big dude, I think, at this point.
Yeah, you know what's funny? I feel like you don't sound like a big guy.
Well,
if that makes sense.
No, I used to get that a lot when I first started, before social media and before Mike and I had been together for all this time. We'd go out on remotes, and I would get, I just figured, because, you know, the name Bulldog, you think I'm going to be some short, fat guy, is what I think people think. When you hear Bulldog,
stocky.
You think stocky,
yes.
Stout, whatever, and instead, you know, you get 6'5" and the beard.
Well, let me turn the tables here on Ross, because when you see Ross, maybe you think, like, wow, he's skinny. Like, you go to Pro Football Reference, Ross, 6'4", 316. You know, we talked to Eric Wood. We've known him a long time, too. He lost a lot of weight after he stopped playing. Was that something? Did that happen quickly for you?
Yeah, it did. Everybody I had talked to had said that if you don't do it right away, sometimes you never do it. And what I think is interesting most NFL offensive linemen are between 295 and 325, right? In your post-career, very few maintain that weight. Most of them are either like under 270 or 50. It seems like not many stay kind of more or less at their playing weight. And what's interesting is that I was like a late bloomer, but then once I got to the NFL, there are guys that have to really, really eat to keep their weight up because it's just not natural for them. And then there are guys that kind of have to watch what they eat because they could gain weight pretty easily.
Yeah.
I went from being, you know, the former to the latter. You know, like during my, when I was 22, I had to really, really eat. By the time I was 24, 25, it was like the opposite. But I was so upset about football being over that when my career, you know, I hurt my neck against the Ravens, herniated C5, C6 in my neck and bruised my spinal cord. So I knew it was over. And, you know, I think we talked about it before, but all I ever wanted to be was a football player. That's all I ever really aspired to. You know, a lot of guys say, you know, football is what I do, but it's not who I am. I was the opposite. Mm-hmm. I loved that my identity was being a football player. I loved that when I would go places, people would say, there's Ross Tucker, the football player. So what's so weird about football in particular is that, you know, you get hurt and then you know you're done, and it's like a switch is flipped and you're never going to put a helmet and shoulder pads on ever again. You know, it's like, and you don't even know that when you go into that game. And so it was like I lost a loved one.
Yeah.
And so I went on a crazy diet and would work out two or three times a day. So I think I went from like probably around 316 in late August to 248 by Christmas.
Wow. Yeah, there's not a lot of like rec league old guy football, at least tackle, right? Like,
linemen,
right? With linemen, at least like former hockey players, like there's avenues. Like you can get the gear on and go play and find a game that fits, you know, where you're at that point in your life. Same for baseball and basketball. But football, that's a tough one. Like it's a tough thing to replicate in a recreational type setting.
Imagine like even an alumni football game where you put the pads on and everything like this.
What?
You don't see that, Russ.
Right. A what?
An alumni game where like everybody suits up and it's like, you know, hockey has that.
Right.
It's not like hard hitting or anything like that, but you see that in other sports. Old Timers Day at the Yankees or right, whatever.
Right. Princeton has an alumni game every year, but it's like flag football or whatever, you know?
Okay.
That you're not actually putting the helmet and shoulder pads on. That's the thing. You know, even if at that point you could do it, I mean, I'm not going to do it without significant compensation. I'm not going to do more damage to my body than I already did. That's the other part of it, you know?
Right. Well, so you were here, obviously. We got to meet up last Thursday, and you got a good long visit here. How about the game, Ross? The Bills, it was a pretty rocky start, but then they kind of took control, and then it got a little tense at the end after the kick return. What were your takeaways from opening day for the Bills?
Well, for me as a broadcaster calling the game, it was perfect. That's pretty much how I would have scripted it. You know, have the road underdog, you know, get the lead, have the home favorite in front of the home crowd rally back, but then have, you know, the antagonist have one more shot at the end, but the protagonist saves the day. I mean, it was wonderful. It was awesome. It was everything I was hoping it would be. The bummer, I guess the biggest bummer for me for Buffalo moving forward is this injury to Taron Johnson. I think I said it during the game, but, you know, Drew Petsing, the offensive coordinator for the Cardinals, said they think he's the best nickel in the league.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think people realize that's like a top 10, certainly top 12 position on a football team. That's how important that spot is now. It's funny because some starting lineups still don't list those guys, because, you know, they still list the two corners. But, I mean, it's at least 75% of the time teams are in nickel, and the Bills are probably even more than that.
Yep.
And he's really, really good at it. You know, I mean, even before the game, the Cardinals tight end Trey McBride was expecting Taron to cover him because he's like, yeah, I mean, that's their guy, and I would expect he covers me. And So we'll see how long he's out. That was a bummer. And then I just, you know, obviously it's about winning and losing, and I recognize that, but Josh Allen is worth the price of admission, win or lose. I mean, win or lose, he is, you know, and I said it, you know, and we've talked about it last year, the Josh Allen experience, where, you know, he's going to have some absolutely phenomenal plays. He's also going to have a couple of plays that, you know, you would like to see him get rid of his, out of his game, out of his system. I just don't think it's going to happen. I think he's, you know, there's all kinds of stats where he's the first guy to lead the NFL in touchdowns and turnovers in a four-year period since Brett Favre in the late 90s. And I think that's kind of where we're at with Jeff, and that he is like this era's Brett Favre, which means he can win MVPs, he can win Super Bowls. He can also, you know, be the reason sometimes why his team loses the game. But, gosh, I love him. I mean, I love him, meeting him in person and talking with him. I would love to hang out with him. And then watching him play, he is awesome. Just awesome. I mean, the way he runs, and thank goodness, right? Because I think two or three times I was like, I think they'll use Josh's legs here. And then it worked every time. Romo, you know, calling out some of the plays before they actually happened. It was awesome. And by the way, that was one of the big takeaways from the game. I have no idea what the Cardinals were doing.
Yes.
On a couple of their third downs in the fourth quarter, just running like outside plays with two pulling linemen that hadn't worked in a couple quarters. I mean, you've got Kyler Murray, who I still think might have the quickest feet of anybody I've seen. I mean, he's like Fred Flintstone. I don't know how much ground he's gaining some of the time, but his feet are just so quick. And running so fast, I thought the Bills were really helped by Petsing's play calling late, and also helped, you know, they could have probably called interference or holding on either one of those last two throws to Dortch, and they let them both go. I would think, usually, you know, I'm in favor of letting guys play, but I would say over time, or with they'll probably call one of those on average, you know, maybe not both, mm-hmm. but one of them.
Insider calls like this one with Ross Tucker brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. You can purchase Hellman's at your local Walmart or grocery store to add extra deliciousness and creamy flavor to your game day dishes this football season. Well, Ross, just quickly, the offseason, you know, marked by the, you know, stalwarts, the Bills lost with Diggs and some players on defense. Then you have the Matt Milano injury in practice before the season starts. Now Johnson, although maybe Johnson isn't super long term, that remains to be seen. This just feels and has felt like it's going to be a season with a lot of stress. And some of the narrative was take some of the pressure off Allen, as you're describing from week one. They did not exactly do that. Now they go to Miami here, a quick turnaround Thursday night. Eric Wood told us yesterday, he thinks, you know, when you have to make this Sunday to Thursday turnaround like teams all have to do over the course of the season, that it's easiest to do it early, just before you're kind of ground down by the season, worn out by the season. Would you agree with that?
I think there's some truth to that. I would also say, you know, when I played back in my day, you know, the only time we did this was Thanksgiving. They didn't have Thursday night football during my era. But I did play in a Thanksgiving Day game, and I loved getting the whole weekend off. First of all, you don't have any padded practices, and then you know you're going to get that whole weekend off, which really helps for the guys that are beat up, and it'll be interesting. You know, A-Chain and Mostert were both did not practice for the Dolphins today, you know, or whatever the simulated practice. So, you know, you wonder, since it's so early in the season, this is such an interesting call for these teams, because knowing that you get 10 days after this, it's probably a good time to not play certain guys, but it's like your biggest rival in division and maybe your biggest competition for the division. You know, it's not like you're playing, you know, the Arizona Cardinals who you just played, right? Where that, you know, this game, not all games are the same. You know, this game for tiebreaker purposes, it does matter more. It matters a lot. And so I don't know if you guys know this, but I'm going to be there Thursday night on the call for Westwood One Radio, which is great. And then the following Monday, after the Bills get that super long break, I'll be back up there in Buffalo. I feel like I'm like yes. Eric Wood.
You are Eric.
Chris Brown this year. I'm calling the Bills' first three games. First one TV, next two radio. And before I forget, I just want to say one thing. It was so cool. Yeah, there was a decent crowd at Danny's. It wasn't like it was packed. There were people kind of spread out, but it was nice to see whatever it was, 25, 30 people there that came, you know, to see me. I guess I was thinking it was such a weird thing because there's like probably 30 people there, maybe 35, I don't know. And, you know, I felt like since it was a watch party with Ross Tucker that I should go up and say hi to every table or mm-hmm. whatever. But then I wasn't sure if they were actually there for me or not.
Right.
So it's kind of weird to go up to a group of people who are sitting at a table and say, are you guys here for me?
Right.
And they all said yes until, I don't know, Bulldog, if you saw her or if she was there when you were still there. But, you know, like a middle-aged woman sat at the bar and got ordered like a Pinot Grigio. And was just sitting there, and I was like, okay. So I sat down next to her, and I said, hey, are you here for me?
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
She was like, I don't know, am I? It was amazing.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, let's try this another way. You know who Ross Tucker is? She said, absolutely not. I said, okay. She was the only person that did not show up at Danny's that night. As far as I could tell, knowing that they get a chance to meet me or say hello, which was kind of funny, but also, like, I was picturing, well, what if it wasn't a Ross Tucker watch party? Is there nobody that goes to Danny's on a Thursday night, or is it just that one lady that goes there by herself? I don't know, but the point I wanted to make is both then and Friday, Saturday, and even Sunday, I can't tell you how many people turned around and, like, looked at me up in the booth from the seats down in front of the booth. And we're like, Ross, they're screaming Ross. And then they would show me, like, their Labatt Blue Light. And I was like, drink one for me. And then I think the one guy thought I meant he had to chug it, and he chugged it. So it's just cool. It's like, I don't know if you guys know this, but it's really the only team where people actually remember me. You know, like, mm-hmm. Washington, I was there for a couple stints and actually started a bunch of preseason games, but never officially started a regular season game. Dallas, I started seven games, but they got me midway through the year. I was only there. So Buffalo's like the one team where fans actually remember me as a player. And I think, you know, doing what I do with Labatt Blue Light and doing what I do with you guys, you know, only enhances that. But it's cool. It's cool when you were like a journeyman average player to have one city or, you know, one fan base where you know, they treat you like they remember you and like you're special. That was really neat.
Except for that one woman.
Right.
Except for that one woman.
I'm so sorry I missed that. I would have loved to have been there for that. But yeah.
It was such a great answer. Like, right. I don't know, am I?
Right.
Yeah. That's funny.
Like that's the right answer.
Yes, it is.
Good job, Ross. Great to talk to you. Enjoyed listening to you Sunday, and we look forward to listening if we can. I'm not sure. We'll have the local broadcast, of course, but hopefully the call in Miami goes well.
Yeah, looking forward to it. No, and it'll be Chris and Eric for you guys. They do a terrific job. But everybody else, the rest of the world, will get us, and hopefully it's an awesome game. And I'm expecting a bunch of points, you know, but both defenses, I think, right now, are leaving a little bit to be desired. I mean, even I was just thinking as you said that, Mike. Yeah, I think you could argue from 2 years ago that. Can you argue that the Bills' four best defensive players from 2 years ago are not playing? I mean, the two safeties, Taron Johnson and Milano.
Yeah,
I'm sure I'm missing somebody, but I felt like those were their guys.
Trey White
too. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Well, it'll be interesting. Thank you, guys.
All right, thanks, safe Ross. Travels, man. That's Odyssey NFL Insider Ross Tucker. Insider calls are brought to you by Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. Mayo game day be delicious, and in part by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
They wanted us to keep that short, but Ross just kept going about the lady at the bar.
He's hard to trim,
which is great.
Right.
That's somebody I want to have to cut short.
Right.
But
right.
we got spanked last week.
Yeah.
Because the calls are too long, and I don't even know if Ross cares. But That's what we were told. So I'm looking at you like, we got to end this.
Yeah.
I don't want to get in trouble again.
Right.
And Ross is talking about, you know, Pinot Grigio and fans yelling up to him, chugging beers. You got to let an artist, you know, do their thing. I mean, I'm not going to cut him off.
Right.
That has happened to me. It's been a long time. I used to do a lot more outings, you know, for work. And I remember in Rochester for this, there were not even a full season maybe, but I went to a bar for Monday night games. You probably did a lot of this too.
Sure, yeah.
I would go to this for trivia, you know, I had...
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Prizes and... You know, I didn't just the same story. Like, I don't know who's there for me. Can't be, I'm not Ross Tucker. Like, it can't be that many people, but I do want to be available to anybody who is.
Right.
So how do I play this? Like, do I go table to table or just what? But it didn't end up being a thing because I had a microphone. And once I introduced myself, then
everybody knew who you were.
Yeah,
right.
Then there was no mystery.
Yeah. It's funny. I got there before Ross did last Thursday, and I walked in, and a gentleman, Matthew, I think was his name, recognized me. And we started talking and, you know, had a beer and just chit-chatting. And then Ross showed up and came over and, you know, we you know, shook hands, like, hey, good to meet you, and chit-chatted for a minute. And there was just a momentary lull, and he steps back and goes, so are you guys high school friends or what? I'm like, no, I just met this guy. just walked in here, and that was it. He's like, oh. And then again with the big. He's like, I can't believe you're this big.
Yeah, he seemed really taken, you know, stunned by that even.
Yeah.
803-0550 is the number. We'll look ahead to Bills Dolphins. Still here. It was only 2 days ago for your thoughts on the performance against Arizona. Want to talk about if we can make it work today or tomorrow. Just what a interesting week one it was. And we did some of this yesterday for how little passing volume there was. I saw 8 teams. So there's pass rate over expected, based on down and distance or the clock, the score, all that sort of baked in, where traditionally this is a running play, this is a passing play more often than not. How does your team perform? What does your team do in those situations? This is kind of a stunning number that only 8 teams in week one were above neutral in pass rate over expected. Everybody else, the Bills were way down. Maybe the Cardinals, too, I don't remember, but the Bills were way down the list. They are a running team now, relative term, and this we saw last year, and we certainly saw it Sunday. 803-0550 to comment. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here, WGR.
We have a ton of respect for them, and they're well coached, very talented with the receivers, and goes extends beyond the two receivers. And so it'll be a high level evening right there, and we're looking forward to it. They're very familiar with us. You know, we think we have some familiarity with them, but you know, it's just two good teams going against each other, and we look forward to it. I'm sure they do as well.
Sean McDermott, the Bills and the Dolphins, Thursday night in Miami, week two. The Bills have won 11 of their past 12 meetings with Miami, including playoffs. The only loss being, 2 years ago in week two.
Right.
When they gained 285 yards more than Miami did. and lost, which is incredible.
They botched a end of half possession that should have been a field goal. They didn't get the clock stopped in time and missed out on a chance for points there. And then Allen badly underthrew a pass to Isaiah McKenzie in the end zone or right at the goal line that very, I would have been stunned if it wouldn't have been a touchdown if it had been on target, but he bounced it. His footwork was a little off or whatever it was. And that was your ball game. They were that close to, you know, winning it.
Very close to winning it.
Yeah.
Brian is with us. Hello, Brian.
Hey, guys. So one of the common kind of feedbacks from the game, from both kind of edges of the WGR radio universe is then, like, you know, we're trending towards running too much. Our neutral run rate is going up. We're not passing as much, which definitely stats would totally agree with that. The eye test totally tells you that. But I guess my question back to you, Mike, maybe predominantly is, like, so can you lay out what your favorite type of offense is, especially for Allen and the Bills? Because what I see is they added Diggs in 2020, and then they kind of, from that was like the apex. They got the superstar, they identified that, and then they kind of stopped. And then it was kind of a rotational band of low-end type free agents, and even guys that got hyped, your Trent Sherfield. Wait till you see this guy play. Deontay Hardy, wait till you see the packages that we have for him. And then, like, Nyheim Hines, he touched the ball 11 times after he joined the Bills. They just couldn't figure out how to use any of those players. And it doesn't surprise me that none of those guys have upper echelon-type skill sets. So, to me, it would take, like, the Bills would have to have, like, a shift in philosophy. You show me, like, they would build an offense that would go back to, like, four wide and empty sets. Because right now, I just don't – they surprised me Sunday with how good they actually looked, because I thought they were profiling towards a dink and dunk offense, because you just don't have anybody who can really lift the lid and be physical and be like some sort of mismatch. So to me, James Cook, yeah, it makes sense that he gets the ball. He's a second round pick from Georgia with high pedigree, and he's got the athleticism. He tested that way. So it makes sense you get him the ball that way. So I guess that's what I would like to see from you guys. Like, lay out what you guys want. I mean, you want like a Chip Kelly 90 play kind of offense where you're just gunning the whole game?
Well, what's I appreciate this question, but what is the point of it if I'm only limited to the players they have? Right? Like, I think they have four or five slot receivers, two tight ends, and a couple, one or two pretty good running backs. Like, that's it. So I'm more curious to see how they lay it out and what happens week to week. I mean, you talk about guys that are maybe, we don't wait till you see them. What is their role going to be? That's even Kincaid so far in his career. So, I mean, Knox blocks Kincaid to a point, right? I mean, snap share and everything. I don't have, my ex receiver is on the team because he's a good blocker in Hollins, who I guess may be serviceable as a receiver. I don't know, really. Like, I've been confused by this, thanks, Brian, all summer, what to do with the collection of players they have. Because I don't think it really makes sense what they've built. You know, what Chip Kelly offenses, or what would I do? I mean, for the last 3 years, you talk about what the radio station sounds like. It's pretty much sounded, let's go get more receiver talent. And the Bills haven't really done it. You know, you have Curtis Samuel and Coleman, and Coleman is promising, but also a little bit complicated as a prospect. So I don't know. I mean, you're bigger on Shakir than I am. I think there's definitely reason to be excited about him. I just don't know who has the ceiling that I'm looking for in this offense because, you know, since you referenced Diggs, what kind of team would I like to build? That kind, where if I'm lucky enough and the Bills did, they earned it, to go out and get a guy who's almost unstoppable, that's what I would want to do. And this team does not have that.
Yeah, I would say, I mean, I can't go back in time. I mean, with what they've got right now, and the way the league could be trending, like, we'll see. I had an instinct late last week before the season started to consider whether or not a lot of the league is going to be more 12 personnel, two tight ends, and more run heavy and less neutral zone, neutral situation pass rate and all that sort of stuff. And, you know, it's 1 week, and but the early returns are that it swung heavily that way, and we'll see if that levels off at some point. So we've got what we've got here now, and I'm not against them going the route they've gone here entirely. I think it behooves them. There's a lot of risk in it, but it behooves them to find out if they can live in the upper echelon of the contending teams in the league without a 30 million plus wide receiver, without that guy. That's not to say you should disqualify yourself from getting an elite player. And if like Keon Coleman by year two or three looks like that, like great, then you've got a guy and eventually you'll have to decide whether you want to pay him or not. But it makes what they did makes sense to me. But I can't go back in time. What I would do is draft someone the year I traded for Diggs. I know I wouldn't have had my first round pick, but draft another receiver even the next year. Whatever, just get another guy so that I can have some semblance of what say Philadelphia has right now with two elite receivers. Maybe Detroit is on the cusp of that now that Jameson Williams has shown up the way he did in the opener. And, you know, other Cincinnati with Chase and Higgins. That's, I think, Samuel and Ayuk. That's where I'd rather be. But, you know, the Bills were at the end of a timeline with Diggs and really did not have that second guy ever, really. And I think it held them back. And here we are now at, like, we have no guy, just a bunch of equals, and everybody's going to eat. And, you know, the early returns, they ran the ball very well early in the game. Couldn't run it at all, really, in the second half, effectively. And within the pocket of the game where they scored their points, where their offense really moved the ball, they threw it 67% of the time. So, like, keep that in mind. Like, because there's a lot of, you watch San Francisco play, you watch a lot of these teams, Detroit, like, why are you against them running it? Well, I'm not so much against them running. I just want to know it's going to work. I've got Josh Allen, and, you know, I want to play to my strengths. So I think they're looking for balance. I respect where they're at, but I think they missed an opportunity when they had the offense that they had, you know, with Beasley here. I think they just needed someone better than Brown and or Sanders or Davis, really. That whole time, I think we could have a very different story with this team if they had managed to find their way to that player.
Take Allen out, which you don't have to do. It's 33 carries for 130 if you don't. It's 24 for 91 if you do, which is what, 3.6? 3.7 yards per carry against Arizona. Pass. No pun intended. Let's go to Matt next. Hi, Matt.
Hey, guys. I think, to your point, I think, you know, a lot of people are saying that the Bills don't have weapons. You know, they lost Diggs. They lost Davis. But I think what the Bills are trying to show, or maybe that the league's going to find out, is that Josh Allen is the weapon. And that I don't know if it's really going to matter how great, you know, the players. I mean, obviously it would help, but I think he's going to raise everyone's level to a certain point that it's going to make them a lot better than probably what they would be otherwise. But the point I wanted to bring up is that I was reading on Twitter the other day that they came out with a stat that after this game, the Bills have set a new record for their 42nd consecutive game where they have not lost by more than 6 points, which I think is absolutely absurd in today's era of the NFL where, you know, you have a bad week or whatever and you might lose by 7 or 10 or 12 or even get blown out at times. I mean, even, you know, we see San Francisco got blown out by like 20 or 30 points last year, one game. And for that not to happen since Carson Wentz was with Indianapolis in 2021 is honestly just absurd. And it's just, I think it just shows how consistent they are, that even when they're not playing their best, that Allen is so good that they almost have to beat themselves to lose.
Yeah, it's definitely a reflection of their excellence. We talked about this some last week. I just have trouble with the logic that because all the things you said about Allen will make this team better than if they had better receivers. Like, I just don't see how that's logical. I think I'd rather have better receivers. I'm not saying they have to be bad at that position, but they don't have the wide receiver one guy here. We're pretty sure about that. They're playing like, and have been talking all summer like they know that, and they're adjusting because of that. That's the only thing. I would not say that they should lose all the time. I would not say that. And we've had this conversation every day for like 8 months. There's a reason why they were still almost the division favorite. You know, everything else, Allen in the MVP, everything else. Nobody's burying them. I mean, you're gonna show me somebody who is. Mostly, people are not burying them. It's just a little bit more curious whether or not they have enough talent to win. And this is defense too. I mean, we're talking receivers again here, but defensively, it's the bigger question. I think right now, with more injuries and just we'll see what they can do against the Dolphins.
Yeah, this opponent especially. All that speed, short week, no Taron Johnson. I mean, they're no Milano, of course, which we knew before the season began. Like look, every week has its challenges, but Miami is one of, if not the most challenging offense I think you can play. The motion, the speed, there's just a lot there.
At least they're familiar with it. Getting connected with the fans, brought to you by Northtown Kia, Western New York's number one Kia dealer. Shop online at northtownkia.com. Welcome back. Phone lines open, 803-0550. Off and running in the Bills season. The win over Arizona, Miami next. In, what, 50 hours-ish. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here. Thanks for being with us. I've got a Bills fan question. Were you happy that New England beat Cincinnati?
Sure. Yes. 100%. I cannot believe that team is going to be a threat. I still think the Bengals certainly could be. You were a little more worried about them, I think, than I was, but I'm not, you know, not totally sold on them being what they've been. I think the vibe stuff could be tricky for them. I mean, they got guys to pay, and nobody's getting paid, and that can be tough. Eventually, that can break a team, I think. But there's just a lot of talent there, so. I would rather have them be 0-1 and not worry about New England being 1-0 at this point.
Makes sense. Is this a way of saying that we've completely sort of escaped the Patriot clutches, you know, with Belichick gone? Of course, Brady's been gone. Is that sort of now it's like brand new and it's a reset with the Patriots?
I think the fact that I would view them that way, don't mind them winning, I'm not worried about them. For me, everyone's not like this. There's a lot of people that might hate them just out of hand. I don't care if they're a threat or not. I don't want to see them win games. I want just nothing but misery for these people. Mm. And, you know, to a degree, I respect that. But, yes, I think I would not be talking that way if I were, you know, worried about them. Like, for example, Miami, I think, is still a team that I'm going to take seriously as a threat. And I was mad that they came back and won their game.
I love that you were mad about that.
Yeah, but that annoyed me. It's only week one, but I'd rather you get off to the tough start. So, yeah, I'm done. New England is, you know, until Drake May shows up, excuse me, and starts looking like someone to really be worried about, I don't know. They're just kind of over there for me. I'm not assuming the Bills are going to trounce them. I mean, they lost to this team last year, for God's sake. Mac Jones led a game-winning drive against them.
Oh, boy.
So, you know, they'll have their days, and maybe even their days. Well, their defense looks good. Like maybe, you know, everyone's what's wrong with Cincinnati. Well, maybe New England's defense has something to do with that. Likely had something to do with it. I don't know if it had everything to do with it. But, yeah, they're an afterthought to me at this point.
Wow. That's going up on a bulletin board, I'm pretty sure. Afterthought. That could be a good video yearbook title. If whenever the day comes that people independent from working for NFL teams actually write the titles on the video yearbooks. Afterthought, the story of the 2024 New England Patriots.
Do you feel differently about them?
Not really. No.
Okay.
I'm mostly with you. You know, right. Cincinnati is... The Bills are in a state where you're competing with the very top teams. And so week one overall, the Bengals lost, the Ravens lost, the Jets lost. You know, those were three of the five or six top contenders by the odds in the conference. And, you know, Baltimore played Kansas City, but those teams all lost their first game.
Would help a lot if I would have seen the Bills handle the Bengals at some point here. I mean, they've only had a couple of opportunities, but obviously they have not gone well.
When did they last beat Cincinnati? There were a lot of games with the Bengals during the drought.
Yeah. I don't remember. I mean, I can think of games.
Allen, as a rookie or a second year, the Knox made a play.
Yeah, angry runs. That's the start of Kyle Brandt's angry runs, I think. I don't know if he had that as a thing before that happened, but...
That I would not know.
That was an angry run.
That's a win against the Bengals.
Yes.
That might be the last one. 803-0550. There was... we've been talking last couple days.
It was the home opener in 19 is what that was. It was the home opener in 19.
After they started Jets-Giants?
Yeah.
Okay. About that 12 men in the huddle penalty that Arizona took late in the fourth quarter, and was that intentional? I've been sort of fixated on that. And there's one question I'm getting about it that I want to try to answer just quickly. We don't have to dwell on it. Lines are open for your calls, your thoughts on this game Thursday night, the overall feeling after week one. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.